The name of that Lord whom sinners need, Jesus Christ. What a great Savior He is. We are grateful that God has provided Him that sinners might come to know life, life eternal. We are glad to be with you in the mercy of our God, and we're thankful that there is sunshine outside and no ice falling. It's certainly a blessing to be able to gather. We trust that God will be glorified in our time together. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to take them and turn with me in them, please, to the book of Psalms. And especially this morning, we want to look at Psalm 87. Psalm 87. As we look together at this psalm this morning, by way of a title, I would give you really two with regard to the message this morning. One of those titles is Born Free, and the other is I Love New York. Thank you. I'll try to explain that as we read these words of Psalm 87 together. The inscription of Psalm 87 tells us that this is a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. And then we read, beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 87, these words. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. We trust that our God would add his blessing to his word as we look together this morning at Psalm 87. My desire is that the Holy Spirit would indeed take these words and use them as he applies them to our hearts, to the good of our souls, and to the glory of God. May we just pause together in prayer once again and ask that of our God. Father, we are thankful that we can bow in the name of the Lord Jesus and look to your word now. We pray as we do so that you would indeed bless your word. And Father, we realize that your Spirit uses the word in that way that he alone can do to the good of souls. Father, we realize that your word is a mine, a well of blessing. Lord, we know that there's no problem with the word, but the problem is with our hearts, and we need you to do a work that you alone can do in our midst. And so we ask of you, Father, that you would glorify yourself through your word this morning. And Father, I ask that you would do that despite the instrument, Lord, in my weakness and frailty, that you would be pleased to magnify your dear Son. Father, we'll thank you for what you do as we ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these words of Psalm 87, as we've mentioned by way of a title, we give you Born Free, or one that may be a little more puzzling, I Love New York. Some of you may be familiar with a song that bears that title. I believe Mr. Blue Eyes sang it. He talks about that city where the sun never sets, and or waking up where the sun never sets, and that city that never sleeps. New York is loved by some. I've been there, and I have to tell you, I believe it's a great place to visit, and I emphasize visit. I don't think I'd want to live there. I do have a friend who lives there. He ministers up in Queens, New York, Bayside, actually, on Long Island. He's one who grew up in central Pennsylvania, in the mountains of Pennsylvania, Appalachian Mountains. He played for a while down at University of Georgia, football there, and then he went to New York, and he's ministered there, and he loves it. He loves it so much, in fact, that he named his second daughter Madison Shea. He loves the Mets, and of course, Shea Stadium in Flushing is where the Mets play. He loves New York. I don't know where you love. I think I know where my wife loves. She's got tar on her heels mighty thick. I have to say I've got a good dose myself. But, you know, we've lived in Pennsylvania some, and I enjoyed Pennsylvania, loved it there. We had a blessed time in the years the Lord gave us. And one special blessing that I know my wife is glad that she went to Pennsylvania for is our daughter. Sarah was born there. When we lived up there, one of the ladies in the church where we fellowship used to tease her and say, you're a Pennsylvania Dutch girl. And she would say, no, I'm not. She was two or three at the time. But she's a Pennsylvania girl. And so is Simeon. I figured if we moved back to Pennsylvania, we could get another girl. But guess what? We got Simeon. Son number 5, and we're thankful for him. I don't know what places you love in life. I remember in the 70s, North Carolina did a promotional of itself. Some of you may remember it. Andy Griffin sang the song, "Lord, it's just like living in a poem. I like calling North Carolina home." It's a nice place to live. There are a lot of great places in the world. But you know what Psalm 87 celebrates? It talks about that place that God loves above all the other places on the earth the best. Psalm 87 celebrates God's special love for Jerusalem, or Zion as it's called often in the Psalms. It's a place where God has a special affection and to which he feels a special attachment. And that's what Psalm 87 is celebrating. Instead of saying, "I love New York," I believe the Lord would say, "I love Zion." And the psalmist here speaks about, in this special psalm for the sons of Korah, a group that should have fallen under wrath. If you remember what Korah did, it's recorded in the book of Numbers. A man who opposed God, who opposed God's servant, and yet although wrath fell on him, wrath did not fall on his children, and later they become doorkeepers in the house of their God, and that's spoken of in another psalm for the sons of Korah, Psalm 84. Within this setting, the psalmist speaks, and he celebrates that special love of God for Zion, but he also celebrates something else that I trust as we look at Psalm 87 this morning we'll see. And that brings us to that other title that I've used, Born Free. The psalmist speaks of a place where by God's reckoning, by God's mercy, and by God's grace, sinners who have been born of Adam's race can be written, registered, enrolled as born free. Not born enslaved to sin. Not born as those who, as the servants of sin, will forever pay the penalty of sin, their sin, forever in hell. And that's what Psalm 87 as well celebrates. I want us to look together at it this morning, please. If you would, notice again those words that we have already read. Let me read again in your hearing, please. Verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 87. It says there in those words that are written, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah." Here's the psalmist talks about this special place that God has chosen. We read of a special choice. I would present that to you in verses 1 through 3. A special choice that God made. God had told the children of Israel as they stood outside the promised land, they were going to enter it though. God had brought them by a high hand, by mighty power and by blood out of Egypt. He was leading them through the wilderness. And as he did so, in the law that he gave to Moses, God had told the children of Israel that when they entered the land that he had promised to them, that he had sworn to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they entered that land, that he would choose out of that land a special place where he said he would set his name forever. A special place that he would choose, and there he would put his name. And it was to be special to Israel. Of course, that place was the place where he would dwell in a very special way, in a very special sense of his presence. It was to be a special choice that God made. And God later, as Israel entered the land of promise and went into that region that God had said he would give, they began to conquer under Joshua. They saw many of the tribes, many of the peoples that lived there. You read about them occasionally in the scriptures. You remember them, I'm sure, the Girgashites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Hittites. And one brother was reading that and threw in the termites just to see if people were listening. And they were. All of those peoples dispossessed by the children of Israel in accord with the promise of God. Israel became really a scourge of judgment for those peoples that were so wicked. And they were marked by incredible filth in their sin and that which they practiced, child sacrifice, abominable activity, all kinds of hateful things. And God used Israel to be a scourge of judgment, to bring his wrath on them, at least in part. But as God gave the land, God then showed that special choice that was his for that place where he would set his name. Within the Psalms, it celebrated. The Psalms, you'll remember, is the book of worship that Israel had. It is their hymn book. It is their song book. It's an inspired song book, though, because every one of the Psalms that make up the Psalter are God-given and Holy Spirit-breathed. So in a very special sense, they are an inspired song book, an inspired hymn book given by God in that way. And so often within the Psalms, as they focus on Israel at worship, is really she praised and thanked God. As the Psalms speak of that, you'll read references to how God chose this special city, Zion. It's here in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 87. As we've read, God's foundations, particularly I believe the foundations of His temple, are in the holy mountain. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Great things, glad things, wonderful things that God will do is spoken concerning this city. But there are other references in the Psalms. Let me ask you to look with me at a few if you have your Bibles there. Psalm 68, please notice what is said. Psalm 68 is a psalm that celebrates God as He has triumphed over His enemies. It looks back to what He had done in triumphing over Egypt as He led His people out of Israel, His people Israel out of bondage, rather. But it also celebrates some of the victories that God had given King David, especially one victory, and that is the victory when David took Zion, that city, Jebus, from the Jebusite people. And it became the place where God said, I am going to set my name. Notice what Psalm 68 says, please, beginning there at verse 15 through verse 19. Psalm 68 again, verse 15. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill is the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. As the psalmist here speaks in these words of David, of that place that God has chosen, he speaks about the other hills, if you will, that were in the land of promise. The hills of Bashan, which were just east of the Jordan, just east of the Sea of Galilee. Hills that were rich pasture land. Remember, that's where Reuben and Gad wanted to dwell because they had many flocks and many herds. And they wanted to enjoy that rich pasture land of Bashan. But God bypassed Bashan. God didn't put His name there. And the high hill of Bashan, the high hills of that area, the area where Ramoth Gilead was located, and Ramoth literally means high places in the Hebrew, that place was overlooked. And God said, I will dwell in Zion forever. This is my holy hill. And then the psalmist goes back to that scene that took place at Sinai when God's special presence, the cloud of His glory, came down on Sinai. And he speaks of how God's presence is likewise there in Zion, there in Jerusalem, there at that place where God had set His name. Glorious things spoken of the city of God. Let me ask you to turn as well, please, to Psalm 132. And notice what is said there in these words of the psalmist concerning that city, which was God's special choice. Psalm 132, and the words of the psalmist there, in a special prayer for David's house, we read these words. Psalm 132 again, in verse 13, the verses that follow. The psalmist says, again, Psalm 132, 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Here God speaks again of those glorious things that are spoken, as Psalm 87 verse 3 says, those glorious things that are spoken about this city of God. A priest rather, that are clothed with salvation. The horn or strength of David, budding and bringing forth and blossoming. The anointed of the Lord, walking forever before the Lord. That is the anointed king of David's line. All of those things that are glorious promises of God. These have been spoken particularly about that special choice that God has made. The choice of Jerusalem, the choice of Zion. Indeed, we can say in the words of the psalm that we've read, Psalm 87, again, especially verse 3, glorious things are spoken. Let me ask you to turn to one more psalm, please. Psalm 102. And notice what the psalmist says here. In this prayer of the afflicted, as he pours out his heart to God, In Psalm 102, we read these words. Let's begin at verse 12. We could, in many ways, read the whole psalm, but I won't ask you to do that. But if you would notice, as God is spoken of in His greatness, in contrast to us in our frailty, in Psalm 102, verse 12, we read, "But Thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and Thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For Thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth Thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory." Then if you would notice a little further what is said as it speaks of Zion, verse 21, just briefly, "To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord." Here again, glorious things spoken of this city, which is God's special choice. God has said that there are great things that will take place. God has put His special stamp, if you will. Indeed, to use again the words of the law of Moses, God has put His name there. Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God. Another of those choral psalms to which we made reference, Psalm 84. The psalmist begins that by saying, "How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O God, O Lord of hosts." If you will, this is the Morris paraphrase, but I believe it's pretty accurate. "I love where You live, Lord God." That's what the psalmist is saying. And in Psalm 84, it contains those words that say, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." The psalmist and God's people reflected a special love for this place because it was that place again which was God's special choice. But we look back to Psalm 87 and notice what it goes on to speak of. In verses 4 through 6, there's a twist, if you will. There's a turn. There's a rounding of the corner that might take us by surprise. In fact, as we look at these words of Psalm 87 this morning, I remember an occasion being in Raleigh some years ago listening to a Christian radio station. Sometimes I feel like I ought to say allegedly Christian, but I hope you'll take it with a grain of salt. Listening to a Christian radio station, and a pastor was reading the Psalms. And as he read Psalm 87 and he was giving comment along the way, he read Psalm 87 in its entirety. And then he said, "I don't have any idea what this psalm is talking about." And he went on and read Psalm 88. And as he said that, in my heart, I sunk because I thought, "Oh, I wish you knew what this was saying. Because it's a glorious message for sinners." But you see, as God's special choice is spoken of Zion in verses 1 through 3, there's a problem that, if you will, in some measure is addressed in verses 4 through 6. And the problem is this. I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, not in Zion. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling many of you were born here in Wake County. I know my wife's a Harnett County girl. I'm a Cumberland County fella. But either way, I'm a long way from Zion. What can you and I do about this special choice of God? And that's what I believe verses 4 through 6 point out. As we read there of a second birth, notice the words carefully, please. Psalm 87, "I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know Me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest Himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people that this man was born there." Selah. We read here of a second birth in verses 4 through 6. The psalmist begins in verse 4 by mentioning a number of foreign countries, foreign, outside of Israel, not part of Israel, certainly not in Zion. Rahab is another name for Egypt. You remember that's the country that enslaved Israel for a while, 400 some years. Babylon is mentioned. Babylon, that city which, if you will, is synonymous in the Bible with the empire of man, with the kingdom of man, with the mind of man, the will of man, and the heart of man. Proud Nebuchadnezzar stands as a picture of it. Babylon is mentioned. Not only that, Philistia, that city which was such a thorn in the side of Israel, or those cities rather, the five cities, Gath and Gaza and Ashdod and Ekron and Ashkelon. Those five cities that were such a thorn in the side of Israel in the days of Samson, in the days of Saul, and even in the early days of David's reign. Philistia is mentioned, that foreign country that was antagonistic and opposed God and God's people. Tyre is mentioned, Ethiopia. A number of these countries are mentioned as well, along with some others, in Psalm 83. You need not turn there, but listen to these words of those who were the enemies of God's people. Psalm 83, verse 4, we read this. This is of the enemies of God's people and of God himself. Psalm 83, verse 4 says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon, with Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have opened the children of Lot. Here we read about the nations, if you will, as it were, all together, the whole kit and caboodle of them, if you will. And they're gathered together against Israel, and they've got one heart and one mind, and that is, let's destroy Israel. And yet in Psalm 87, those very nations, some of which are mentioned as the enemies of God's people, those same nations are spoken of. And they're spoken of in relationship to Zion. So you see, God's plan and purpose, which he announced in the beginning, and the good news that he gave to Abraham when he preached the gospel to Abraham, God's good news, God's purpose to bless, God's plan to show blessing to sinners, was not limited to Israel alone, thank God. God had said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, to Abraham, in thee all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I believe here in Psalm 87, the psalmist picks up on that as he mentions those from Babylon, those from Tyre, those from Philistia, those from Ethiopia, those who were from Egypt or Rahab. As he mentions those various cities, he points out how God's purpose to bless is going to encompass even these, as they will be given a second birth by which they will be written, not as born in Rahab or in Babylon or in Philistia, or in Tyre, or in Ethiopia, but a new birth, a second birth, by which they would be written and registered, enrolled by God, as having been born in Zion. What we have reference to here in these words of the psalmist, Psalm 87, verses 4 through 6, is really nothing other than that which our Lord spoke of to Nicodemus. When in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to him and he said, Master, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. The Lord Jesus looked at him very pointedly and he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was talking about spiritual things as though he had real insight into them. And the Lord Jesus, if you will, pulled the rug out from under him and said, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God without a new birth. You've got to be born again from above of the Spirit of God. What Psalm 87 is saying about those who are Ethiopians or Egyptians or Babylonians, from all the nations of the earth, if you will, is that God, by His grace, is going to give to them a new birth, a second birth, by which they will be written forever in the register of His people. I think we see that so marvelously, so greatly, in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. As we read the record of Dr. Luke, there are those from the nations under heaven, Elamites, and all kinds of names mentioned there of the various nationalities of those who had come to the Feast of Pentecost. And yet 3,000 that day enter the kingdom. 3,000 that day are born again of the Spirit of God as they believe the message of Peter by the grace of God. And they're written by God. Though they might have been Elamites and Medians and Persians and other nationalities, they are written by God as being born in Zion, because the Word of God has become the seed of eternal life to their soul in a second birth, in a new birth, which God has accomplished. And so it's written of them, this man and that man was born where? In Zion. Not physically, not the first time, but spiritually, the second time, born again by God's grace. But let me, as we think about that second birth, that we understand Psalm 87, verses 4 through 6 to refer to, let me tell you the ground by which sinners are born again. Let me tell you how it is that you and I, born of Adam's race and by nature, because of that birth, disqualified from entering the kingdom of God. As the Lord Jesus again told Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and it stands under the right sentence of God's wrath, of God's anger and holy purpose against sin. You and I need another birth. You and I need a second birth. We need a spiritual birth. And that is accomplished because, if you will, the one who was God's own dear Son, the one who from old eternity was in the bosom of the Father, he was born of flesh. And if you will, we can say, I believe rightly, that we can be born of spirit because he who is God's own Son was born of the flesh. And there was more to it than that, obviously. He had to do more than come and be born of the Virgin as he was and as the Scripture had predicted and prophesied. He had to be born of the Virgin, yes, but he had also to come as he was born of the Virgin and to do that which he alone could do, to take the place of poor, guilty, helpless, fallen sinners of Adam's race on the tree of the cross. And as on the tree of the cross he took our place, the one who had been born of flesh to die in the womb instead of guilty sinners, secured for guilty sinners a second birth from above, a birth of the Spirit, a birth from heaven itself, so that it can be written of us, born again, born in Zion, born heavenly, if you will. It's all because of the riches of God's mercy. I love the way Paul speaks about this in Galatians chapter 4 as he speaks to those believers at Galatia who wanted to go back under the law. And as he warns them about that, as he throws up the yellow flag and then the red flag to them, he reminds them that Abraham had two women by whom he had children. One of them was Sarah. The other was Hagar. Hagar was a bondwoman, and so her son Ishmael was born in bondage. But then he speaks of Sarah as one who, because she was free, was able to bear a son who was free, Isaac left her. And that son, Isaac, who was born, is the one that God calls the seed in. He's that promised child. He's that special child. He's that wonder birth. That's what God accomplished in each one of us who are saved, by the way. It's a special birth, a wonder birth. It says of Sarah there in Galatians chapter 4. It speaks of her in this way in verse 26. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. The mother of every one of God's children. The mother of everyone in God's family. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. By God's grace, every one of those who are members of His forever family are written as born in Zion. But it's only through Him who is born of woman, born of the Virgin, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem us who are under God's wrath. So it is that these words of Psalm 87 end on that note, and I would ask you to notice it again, verse 6. Of Psalm 87, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Born where? Again, in Zion. One day, as David Morris will stand before the Lord, it won't be written of me. It's to that most important birth, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now, I have to admit, I like Fayetteville. Lived some good years there. I believe Brother Mebbin likes Fayetteville, too. I enjoy the years that God gave me there. But that's not the birth that I'm going to look to. When the Lord writes up His people one day, it's going to be written up a new birth, a second birth, a birth in Zion. I want to ask you this morning, have you had that birth? By the grace of God, has the Spirit of God shown you your need of Jesus Christ, your need of that one born of that virgin mother, born of woman, born to die, born to take the sins that would drag you and cast you into hell? Have you come to trust Him? Has the Spirit of God birthed you and given you faith and repentance, eyes to behold Christ in His glory, eyes to see the Son of God in His altogether loveliness, eyes to see Him in His Lordship and in His Saviorhood, eyes to see Him as the only one who can do helpless sinners good, Christ alone? If He's done that, then I can believe it can be said of you. You've been born there in Zion as well. birth of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Glorious things are spoken of Zion, and glorious things are spoken as well of those who have been written as born again in Zion. One final thing I'd ask you to notice from the words of verse 7, and that is a spiritual delight. Psalm 87, verse 7 reads, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. I would not sound irreverent here, brothers or sisters, but as the psalmist says, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. Of course, in the temple, there was some of the greatest singing that was ever heard on the earth. We read in Psalm 137, when the children of Israel, Judah, were taken to Babylon, they were taunted by their enemies who had taken them captive. Their captors asked of them songs, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. So famous were the songs of David and the songs of Zion throughout the world of that time. So it is that the singers and the players on instruments were there in Zion to praise God. But you know what that picture really brings to my mind when I read it, first reading, even though I know that there were choirs and there were instruments? It brings to me the picture of a party. But if you will, it's the right kind of party. Have you ever noticed how often the Lord Jesus used imagery of a party to describe the kingdom? When the prodigal comes home, what do? They kill the fatted calf. Why? Because that which is lost has been found. It's a time of joy. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of relish, a time to savor. Why? Because of the great mercy of God. It's something to sing about, if you will. And I know we tend to be kind of quiet, but it's even something to shout about. It's something to crow happy about. Something to be excited about. And that's what the psalmist speaks of as he speaks of that spiritual delight that he finds in God's city. Because the greatest thing about God's city is God himself. And that which marvels the hearts of God's people about his city, that which fills us with rapture and joy, that which gives us delight, is that God himself is there and God himself is with us in Jesus Christ. And so we can say, as the words of Psalm 87 conclude, all my springs are in thee. I don't know where your springs are this morning, but I'll tell you this. If you're looking to any other spring for your joy, for your delight, than the living God, you're looking to a broken cistern that can hold no water. But I'll tell you this. If you're looking with a spiritual delight to the God of Zion, you're looking to one who is the fountain of living waters. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 36, the words there of verse 8, he speaks to God and he says about God and his house, of God's people who put their trust under the shadow of his wings. He says in verse 8 of Psalm 36, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. It's Mr. Darby who points out in his translation there that the word pleasures is the plural of Eden. You will make them drink of the river of your Edens. For you see, where he is paradise for his people. And there is a spiritual delight that we know who know the Lord, who know the living God, a spiritual delight. And if today that delight is not yours, turn from the broken cisterns of this world that will never satisfy you, that can hold no water. Turn from them today to Jesus Christ, who alone can bring satisfaction to your soul and to your heart and life. You may have to say today, like the words of the hymn writer, like the woman at the well I was seeking, the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Can you say all my springs are in thee? When thinking of the living God and the joys that his people know, the river of his pleasures, if not today, a weary one, stoop down and drink and live of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless your word and to magnify your dear son through it. We thank you, Father, for that special choice which you have made of Zion.
We thank you as well for a second birth by which we as sinners fallen of Adam's race can be written as born in Zion. Thank you for your grace and for a new birth, the birth of the Spirit from heaven. Thank you that sinners by grace can say, I've been born again. Thank you for the light that we find, the joy that we know from you, our fountain of living waters. May those who do not know you in this place today turn from broken cisterns to thee, the fountain. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.